141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a big night of international football. Scotland's Euro Championship warm-up starts this evening with a friendly in the Netherlands. Speculations mounting about the futures of the likes of Borna Barisic and Paolo Bernardo, and Motherwell appoint former St Mirren chief Brian Caldwell as the club's new CEO. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight, Cammy Bell, and a man who's celebrating his first week in charge of designing the new England strip is Hugh Keevans.
Nothing to do with me, mate. But what has plenty to do with Steve Clarke is getting a result for Scotland. We've had a run of results not to his liking, in other words, no wins. But what a task tonight. Ronald Koeman's Dutch side, Virgil van Dijk possibly up against Lauren Shankland. What a test that would be of Shankland. And all in all, it's a massive game for Scotland, because the name of the game now is about building confidence, self-esteem ahead of Germany in Germany.
Yeah, a massive, massive game. Massive game for the players to showcase themselves, to make sure they get on that plane to Germany. I don't think there's a number of places available on the plane. Steve Clarke doesn't change his squad too much, but players have got the opportunity tonight to show what they can do and make sure they're in the starting 11 for that Germany game.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. Share your Friday night thoughts with Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell. Of course, we're building up to the Netherlands against Scotland. So what do you want to see tonight? Who do you want to see given a chance? If I was to guess, I think most of you would say Lauren Shankland, and understandably so. But if that is the case, come on and tell us why. Maybe you don't, maybe it's something entirely different. Maybe Lewis Ferguson's the one you really want to see. Do you want to see a change of formation? Something a bit experimental, assessing options before the Euros? What do you think? What would you like to see tonight? What are you looking to take away from tonight? 01419511025. Is it all about just trying to get a win and get that winning feeling back? Or is it about fine-tuning things, adding elements to the performance before we head towards the Euros? 01419511025. What and or who do you want to see tonight? If it's not international football that's on your mind, well, what is? I know there's been a bit of speculation yesterday surrounding Paolo Bernardo and whether Celtic were ready to spend a fairly sizable fee on him. Lots of you had thoughts on that last night. Maybe it's developed a bit more today. Rangers fans, you'll have been waking up to suggestions that Borna Barisic could be on his way out of the club. So again, what are your thoughts on that one? Motherwell fans, after a long time, so long I thought you were going to have to turn to Gordon DL in the end, but you've got a new CEO. What do you make of getting that security tied down? Let us know on the usual number or on Twitter. It's a big weekend in the Championship. The League One title could be wrapped up. We've got a Sky Sports Cup final between Rangers and Partick Thistle women as well. So there is so much to get your teeth into right now if you can. 0141 951 1025.
Well, I mean, in all the divisions that we'll be covering tomorrow on Super Scoreboard, all sorts of fascinating stories. You know, you've got Dundee United up against Big Dunks, Inverness Cali Thistle. Dundee United have so far staggered their way to the top, just, they're there on goal difference. And my personal favourite story, Clyde, because I'm of a generation that remembers when Clyde used to win major trophies in Scotland, and now they're fighting for their SPFL existence, and they play the Spartans tomorrow, and there's a chance they could come off the bottom of the League Two table. So, big weekend, and one man's personal opinion, Paolo Bernardo at £6 million, not for me, too much money.
Just because it's Hugh Keevans, some of you might even agree with that, but just want to disagree with him anyway. So you can do on 01419511025. Still lots going on, Cammy, in the domestic scene.
Yeah, as Hugh just touched on there, massive weekend for the Championship football. But again, touching at that League One spot, if Falkirk can just get wrapped up, which I'm pretty sure they will, if it's not tomorrow, it will be very, very soon. And it's great to see them back in the Championship, because they're a huge club. They've got a great support and a club that should be in the Championship, but it's took them a while to get back there.
Come on then, 01419511025. 1025. If you want to talk domestic football, you can. If you want to do the title race in the Premiership, you can. You want to give the lower leagues a bit of spotlight this weekend, absolutely fine by me. The future of Paolo Bernardo, Borna Barisic, Motherwell's new CEO, Blair Spittle's pre-contract with Hearts, anything at all, 01419511025. It probably seems right to start with Scotland, so if that is on your mind, now is the perfect time to step up to the plate. What do you want to see tonight? What do you want to take away from tonight? Who do you want to see tonight? Is there anyone there that you think needs to be given a chance in these friendlies? What are the priorities as we head towards the Euros? Because the great thing is, Hugh, maybe with the exception of a friendly against England, because that takes care of itself for obvious reasons, it's about as exciting and as important a friendly as you can. Pre-tournament friendlies, we've not been used to these over the years.
The Johan Cruyff Arena, Ronald Koeman, Virgil van Dijk, all the big hitters, and a very decent Dutch side. I would like tonight, I think, no experimentation. I think we're too near to the tournament. I think we need continuity. We need to have our system. We need to fine-tune it, and we need to get respectability. We don't need any more beatings along the way. So I'd take a more conventional approach to life. I think they're too good to be going experimental against them.
What do you think? Well, let's hear from Steve Clark, actually, because he's dropped a little hint that it could be something slightly different that's on the cards tonight.
A couple of really good training sessions where I've asked them to think about maybe doing something a little bit different. I won't tell you what it is, but these are the kind of games where you can use that opportunity to try something that's maybe a little bit different. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe we have to readjust after we've seen it in action against the Dutch. But we just want to keep improving. There's no real secret to that. There's no short circuit. You just have to work as hard as you can every time you're together and respect your opposition and go out there and try to play as well as you can play.
Something a bit different maybe, Cammy, tonight. What might that look like?
I don't know if he's touching on potentially two up top. I don't know. Sounds as if it's a little bit different. Listen, I wouldn't imagine Steve Clark to go too outrageous with anything. He doesn't do that. He likes to stick with a lot of players that he knows and positions that he knows. But maybe just to experiment to try and occupy the Dutch defence a little bit more with two up top and see how the Scotland team can handle that behind them as well.
Well, what do you think? Hugh Keevans just wants straight down the middle, a bit of continuity, try and fine-tune that. Suggestion, though, that maybe Steve Clark, well, he said it as much himself, might try something. Don't think it's going to be too wacky, but just maybe a sort of slight tweak, maybe a couple of strikers, maybe a change at the back. You tell us what you want to see and who you want to see tonight, because all season long people have been praising Lawrence Shankland's goal scoring. He's not an automatic starter for Scotland usually. Lewis Ferguson, he's the captain of Bologna at the moment. He's tearing up in Serie A. He's not a starter usually for Scotland. So are they the two main ones, or is there something else? Let us know. And if you want to get round to the domestic stuff, you are more than welcome as well. Is it likely to be somewhere in the middle, Cammy? I get Hugh's point. Highly unlikely that the team tonight has, you know, like eight players who don't usually start the game. But at the same time, it would seem like a slight wasted opportunity if you weren't. I mean, if you can't have a look at Lawrence Shankland or Lewis Ferguson tonight, then you never will.
Yeah, and against the top quality opposition, it's going to be a difficult one if Lawrence Shankland does start up front. You potentially against Virgil van Dijk, one of the top defenders in football. So it will be a difficult evening for him. But if he starts, but he'll be choking at the bit to get that opportunity to be up front and show what he can do. And yeah, listen, there might be slight changes, but I don't expect there to be too many.
James is on the line. How are you, James?
Well, I'm fine, mate, I'm fine.
Good. What's the priority tonight? Is it result, performance, or what?
The result doesn't matter. The result doesn't matter one iota.
What does then?
What matters is we beat Germany in the first game.
Well, that's true.
Because I think we can do it.
Yeah, but there are matches. These are preparatory games.
I know. We need to put on a performance. I know we need to try and win, but they're irrelevant.
Well, they're not entirely irrelevant, James. Because if you took a sound beating off Ronald Koeman's side, then that's mm-hmm. not what you want this close to the tournament. So they're not irrelevant. They are there for a purpose.
Last time, we beat them 1-0 in the qualifier semi-final. We went to Holland and we got beat 6-0. We were all jumping and dancing, thinking we're going to win. And they hammered us 6-0. They might hammer us 6-0 again.
Oh, I certainly hope not. That playoff memory's coming back. No, but I get, listen, I said the truth being in the middle. You could play brilliantly and lose 2-1 or get held to a 1-0 draw mm-hmm. or actually play pretty rubbish. Nothing you've been working on in training is visible, but you get an own goal or you nick a scrappy set piece and you win 1-0. It's never going to be all about the result in a friendly, is it? It can't really be.
No, and
it's obviously important.
Yeah, listen, it's not all about result, but obviously you're this close to a major tournament that you want to build momentum, you want to build confidence within the team and the squad, and this is a very good side we're facing tonight. There's no getting away from that. It's going to be a difficult game to get a result out of, but it's one you sort of set yourself up for. There's going to be so many difficult games at the Euros that Scotland are going to face, so why not prepare yourself tonight as well as you can? And yeah, it's not all about the result, but it's still quite important for me that they do try and get a positive one.
It's all about the result if you take a hiding. I'm not suggesting for a moment that Scotland will take a hiding, but the result does have a certain relevance depending on what the result looks like.
But that's the point then, that then is about the performance, because what you're saying is you can get away with a draw or a narrow defeat as long as you play well.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of...
That's why Stevie Clark, quite rightly, in the clip that you played, Gordon, opened up to the possibility of going with something experimental and then immediately dumping it if it doesn't work out. So that's always the risk you take with an experiment.
I also feel Scotland have got that little bit of an edge when it is a competition they're playing in as well. When the friendlies come around, I feel as if there's not that spark. So Steve Clarke will be looking for that spark tonight, because we're so close to such a huge campaign coming up in the Euros.
I think the circumstances ensure that there will be an intensity about the game and about our players and their performances, because it's the Johan Cruyff Arena, because it's, you know, this is an acknowledged nation with a great past.
Well, as an example, we played the Netherlands in a friendly prior to the last Euros and we drew 2-2 and everybody was fairly encouraged by it, and then the Euros itself didn't quite follow on from that. So work to be done, as James says, and the priorities that game against Germany. Personnel wise James, though, would you like to see like Lauren Shankland or Lewis Ferguson, or who would you like to see tonight?
I'd love to see Shankland have a go, but Lyndon Dykes has done us a favour all the way. He's been great for Scotland, Lyndon Dykes. He runs his heart out. Give him an hour, take him off, bring Shankland on.
Yeah, we said last night as well, this came up, you know, we cannot forget the players that got Scotland to this point. You know, it's been such a successful campaign, but you also can't ignore how good Lauren Shankland's been. And he scored when he came on for Scotland recently. And we've got the luxury of these friendlies. You know, if we were pitched straight in, if we played Germany tomorrow, opening game of the Euros, would he start? Probably not.
No.
But is this the chance then to show what he can do again?
This is the opportunity for me. I think if Shankland does start tonight, it gives him an opportunity at starting in Germany against Germany. Listen, Lyndon Dykes is fantastic for Scotland. He brings a different dimension to what Lauren Shankland does. He gets us up the pitch. He makes it a difficult game for defenders. He can score goals, we've seen that obviously, but I think Shankland's more a natural goal scorer, and has got a lot of different types of goals in his game as well, so they are different. And listen, there will be definitely times in the Euros that we need a Lyndon Dykes striker up front.
Shea Adams though as well.
Yeah, so
forget about him.
Listen, but these are all good things for me. They're good options. They're different types of strikers that we've got. We've not got strikers that are all very, very similar. We've got a guy who's in real good form, and I think most fans just want to see him and see if he can do it at this level.
I'm an old-fashioned guy. I like a goals-to-game ratio that's on the high side. And we know that Shankland can do it at club level because he's had the season of his life at Tynecastle. I'd like to find out about this level, and I'd like to find out against a Holland and a Virgil van Dijk if you can cut it at that level. So I'd love to see him play from the start, because yes, Dykes has done an honest to goodness job for us and always has done, never lets us down, but I like a prolific scorer about the place, and I'd like to find out if Shanklin could do that.
Can't argue with the numbers. The beauty of international football, or the challenge of picking teams in international football, is you've got players that are playing at different levels. Now the interesting thing about this, it's not like, well, neither Shea Adams or Lyndon Dykes are English Premier League strikers, mm-hmm. so it's not like the level is drastically different, or as drastic as it could be, albeit Shea Adams may be operating more towards the top of the Championship than Lyndon Dykes is. The thing that does set them all apart clearly is the back catalogue and what they've done for Scotland. If you're Steve Clarke, you know how many really, really impressive results have involved Lyndon Dykes or Shea Adams. And can you, is there time for Lauren Shanklin to get as much goodwill in the tank in the eyes of Steve Clarke as those two have?
Maybe not, but again, you can start with tonight. If he starts off really positively, gets a goal tonight, they get a positive result, then everyone will be wanting Lauren Shankland up front. But again, what also happens with Scotland is when Lyndon Dykes and Adams play, you see the midfielders getting runners beyond. We get the goals from midfield as well, so you can't forget what these strikers do bring to Scotland.
You can play yourself into contention. You can also play yourself out of contention. Mm. So
we'll Some can't though, eh? Some won't. So many of those players are so ingrained in what Steve Clarke's achieved, they couldn't.
Yeah, but
what would it take tonight for Lyndon Dykes or Shea Adams to not go to the Euros? Like,
no. The reason I brought up the subject is entirely about Shanklin.
Oh, got you. Okay.
You know, you can.
But again, then is that unfair? So what are you saying to the guy? Right, come on, then. I've heard all the clamour. Go on. Get the better of Virgil van Dijk, or you're not going to the...
Of course,
it?
But Stevie Clarke has said that he has a brutal job in his hand. He's going to have to tell people they're not going. You might as well find out if there's any likelihood. You know, Lawrence has been one of the great stories of the season, but time to stop pussyfooting around. Shove him in, see what he does against Van Dijk.
I mean, now at the stage where he's going, so it's just a case of trying to establish where he is in that pecking order.
Absolutely, and I think Steve Clarke will be asking Lauren Shankland, if he is playing tonight, to do a lot of different work from what Stephen Naismith does at club level. Again, that's where I feel as if Lauren Shankland can get the sort of more defensive side of work that, again, we'll touch on Lyndon Dykes, the work rate he puts into a game. I think if Lauren Shanklin can bring that to the Scotland team, then I think he's in a much better chance of actually starting games.
Thank you to James for giving us his thoughts. He says it's all about the performance result is irrelevant, but what do you think? Would you like to see Shanklin? Is he going to be more of an impact tonight? What about Lewis Ferguson or anyone else? Call us right now if you can, and we'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are in the building, both waiting and hoping that you'll get in touch with them this Friday night. 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking? If you've got Scotland on your mind, what does your team look like for tonight? Who do you want to see given a chance? What do you hope to take away from this game? One of a few friendlies coming up between now and the Euros. And if you want to shift focus to domestic football, we are here for you. Give us a call. Stevie is next on. How are you, Stevie?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight then?
Obviously, I mean, I say to Ross there, I mean, I think like Craig Gordon should start in goals. Obviously, Shanklin up top, because he's going to have to use the games that he's got left to prepare, obviously, and let me know for the teams that we're going to play, systems, formations we're going to be up against. You know what I mean? And See, the thing is, Gordon, I look at it myself and say, obviously, there's, you know, the England game against Brazil where Anthony Gordon has been picked for England, but they're never going to play him. Here they are. I mean, but you say to yourself, he would have got a game, obviously, with Scotland for the next campaign. I mean, but I just think, obviously, like Steve Clarke has got a new information, a new system. He wants to try it in these games. And we know the Northern Ireland game is going to be this rough and tumble. I mean, it's going to be against the Swiss. So, I think I'm going to the Euros with my boys. So, I mean, so...
Brilliant.
I'm first the president. And we just need to be there's no pressure on Scotland against Germany. You know what I mean? So Germany have kicked the ball competitively for 2.5 years. So we're going to need that experience. We like Craig Gordon and goals there.
I'm interested in that one. That's the one that's got my attention, Stevie. Do you think Craig Gordon's going to go from playing very little football and being Hearts number two to starting for Scotland tonight?
I tried to go on the other night, Gordon, I mean, because Jim Leighton played every game as Euro 96 and didn't get anywhere near the tournament, and Andy Gordon had kicked a ball, you know what I mean, and he got every game in the tournament, so he did, you know what I mean. So obviously I coach goalkeepers, you know what I mean, so I'm getting there, the experience in that arena, billions of people watching, you know what I mean, it's the opener. You need a teammate, and that's not against Angus Gunn. I think he's done brilliant. So he has. But sometimes you just need that experienced head on there. And sometimes, obviously, I mean, I don't know if you agree or disagree, but sometimes when you've got him at the back to rely on, even if you're nervous and you make a couple of bad mistakes, you're hoping that he bounces it. And if he can steal a draw against him and then build something in the other two games,
I have the greatest respect for Craig Gordon and what he's done in the game and what he's overcome to do in the game. I don't think he'll play tonight, but I do think he'll play against Northern Ireland at Hampden on Tuesday. And, you know, Gunn is still the number one man. And it would be, for me, an odd thing if Angus Gunn was to be replaced this quickly by someone who has been out of football for as long as Craig has been. But I do think he'll play against Northern Ireland, and I do think he'll go to the Euros.
The only thing you could argue maybe is that Angus Gunn is going to go to the Euros, and he's probably going to go as Scotland's number one. Yeah. And therefore, back to that argument of, well, you know, is this an addition for other people? You know what he can do. Does he step aside to let the others win their place tonight and over the next couple of days?
Not for me, and purely on the basis that Angus Gunn's missed the last three games for Scotland. He's not a hugely experienced goalkeeper himself at national level.
So you think, like, roles reversed almost, if you've got Craig Gordon there, yep, and 70-odd caps?
So absolutely, yeah. And I think that it plays a big part that Angus hasn't played that much national football. And again, against big high-level opposition, which we're going to face tonight. So that's why I think Angus Gunn will play tonight. I am with you. I think Steve Clark will play Craig Gordon some part of the game on Tuesday. I don't see any other reason of him bringing him. Yes, he would want to see him up and close in training, but he'll also want to see him in a game as well.
But not all four are not going to feature, though,
no,
are they, over
no,
these two games?
Absolutely not. And I don't know whether he will play Craig half and Xander half. I firmly believe it's going to be Angus Gunn, Craig Gordon and Xander Clark, probably in that order. If anything happens to it, I think Angus will be number one. I do think Craig would be number two, to be perfectly honest, even though he's not played a lot of football, just for his experience at that high level and high pressure. And then it would be Xander.
So yeah, I mean, Stevie, what do you make of that counterpoint? You know, Angus Gunn, he's only got a few Scotland caps so far, so is it not worth, if he's going to be the number one at the Euros, as everyone expects him to, is it not important to get him back in tonight because he's missed the last three?
He's missed the last three, but I watch a lot of the EFL, though, Gordon. Mm-hmm. I mean, and some goals that he's lost, that means that he should go. I mean, that he should have got. And I know what you were saying about, like, you know, Craig, you know, has had a lot of doubles with it. You can't turn away that experience, that, you know, when. So, hypothetically, I mean, no, Steve Clark made the mistake of playing Davy Marshall in all three games. Not one of the keepers get any chance to get experience in a European tournament.
I know, but Craig Gordon's experience isn't even enough to get him the number one spot at Hearts just now. So how is it enough to get him for Scotland when he's actually competing with the same guy that he is at club level and Angus Gunn on top of that?
Again, no, but league football is different to tournament football. The league football is there 30-odd games, Gordon. This is three games. You know what I'm saying, mate? So you need to look at it and sit and say, if we can get something to build on in the Germany game, everybody expects us to get beat. You know what I mean? But as I say, they've not played competitive football for 2.5 years, and we've been playing competitive football. So you sit and think, if we've got that momentum, and he will, we know he's going to keep the same shape, but I think two goalkeepers, Gordon and Gunn, and then bring an extra forward or an extra midfielder, so that when we're playing against, because we play Germany, Switzerland, in the last games against Hungary are rotten.
I don't like that level of confidence. That makes me feel uneasy. They're pretty well in their qualification group.
Yeah, exactly. The very fact that they qualified tells you they are not rotten. So it's a dangerous mindset. First of all, you've said there's no pressure on us because everyone expects us to lose to Germany. I don't think that's the case. And there should be pressure on, because the last time we played at the Euros, it wasn't good enough. We lost two games and we went into raptures over a no-score draw against England because it was England. There is pressure. We're playing the host nation, game one, and there is pressure.
Right, we have a Scotland team in amongst all that debate. Going to burst Stevie's bubble already. Angus Gunn plays in goals. Now, I'm just quickly looking to see, because if Steve Clark says maybe something different, I'm trying to figure out formation-wise here. So it could well be that back... let's say it's a back four, and that's right, the change that people are expecting. You'd be looking at Nathan Patterson at right back, Andy Robertson at left back, with Kieran Tierney, and no, there you are. So it was just scrap. Let's scrap that, right? Okay. I think it's going to be the back three still, because you've still got the three defenders of Jack Hendry, Ryan Porteous, and Kieran Tierney. Right. So still a back three, yeah?
Okay.
We're in agreement so far.
Yep.
Nathan Patterson and Andy Robertson as the wing backs.
Yep.
No shock there.
Okay.
And a sort of midfield of Billy Gilmore's in there, Scott McTominay's in there, John McGinn's in there, Ryan Christie's in there, and the man leading the line is Lawrence Shankland. So what'll be interesting, I think, that's actually, that's not that different, Cammy. That's not that experimental at all. It's really just Lawrence Shankland. Mm-hmm. The one I do wonder about, because I don't know if people have noticed, Ryan Christie, believe it or not, has been playing in a deeper midfield role for Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if he actually goes in there next to Billy Gilmore, surprisingly, for Scotland fans, and leaves, you know, McGinn and McTominay further up like they usually are, or as we've seen Ryan Christie play for Scotland off Lawrence Shankland.
Yeah. Again, Steve Clarke has thrown a little spanner in the works yesterday with his comments and saying we've been trying something different. So it could be absolutely that, Gordon, that Christie plays that deeper role that he's been doing very well for Bournemouth with. Or was it just the fact that it was Shankland up front? I don't know. Listen, it's a good team, that. It's a strong team. I'm delighted to see Shankland up top and getting his opportunity, and now he needs to grab it. Now he needs to take... this is his opportunity to get a start against Germany. That he's got to see this tonight as his big opportunity, and I really do hope he does take it. And yeah, it's a strong team. I like it.
To be fair to Shankland, he's up against a Rolls Royce of a player. And, you know... of course, it's an intimidating test of him, but for heaven's sake, you know, that's what these games are for. And Lawrence has his own personal pride, so let him get out there and get in about it. I think that's a real intriguing feature of tonight's game.
Just straight away, though, it just tells you that Steve Clarke isn't of a mind to try anything bizarre here. I don't think many people expected that, but that's... of the players that are available, because Callum McGregor and Aaron Hickey aren't there, that's kind of as close to what you would expect.
Yep.
With the only debating point really was the striker, because I know people wanted to see Lewis Ferguson, but it'll need to be from the bench. He's there along with pretty much everyone else: Dykes and Adams, Souter, Ralston, Taylor, Cooper, McLean.
Again, it's such a strong... again, you look at the midfield, and it's Premier League midfield, so we all know the quality we've got in there. But what it does present tonight is a huge opportunity for these guys that are starting to... obviously, you've mentioned Hickey and McGregor, who you would probably put down as starters for Scotland. So it's an opportunity for these guys to really put a marker down tonight, get a good result, good performance, and it puts a little doubt in Steve Clarke's mind for the guys that are actually missing to get straight into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, like we said, it's a return for Angus Gunn and goal. Both of you sort of expected that. Kieran Tierney's had injury problems as well. He's come back into the Sociedad team recently. And McGinn and McTominay have been the main men, really, for Scotland on so many occasions. So there's a few points of intrigue in there.
And if I remember that team correctly, no Lewis Ferguson?
No, on the bench.
That always, you know... he's done so well in Serie A. I mean, to go there, to assimilate himself into the culture, the football culture, and to become the captain of the club eventually. He has done superbly well, but not yet for Stevie Clark. However, that's a very good team he's picked, and I look forward to seeing how they do in this match, because it's a real test.
The unfortunate thing for Lewis Ferguson is the exact same as if you're any up-and-coming left-back in Scotland. Lewis Ferguson can simultaneously be very, very good and maybe in the eyes of Stevie Clark be not quite as good as John McGinn or Scott McTominay. That's not controversial.
No,
I know we like to make everything a big deal, but look how good those two have been.
What I would say is that it just shows you how strong our squad is at the moment. And again, maybe the wrong era that Ferguson's came on the scene. If it had been 10 years ago, would he have got a start? Probably,
or
yes.
If he was a number nine, if he was a striker again, going and doing it in Serie A, you're rolling out the red carpet for him.
Absolutely. But it's just such a... We've got so many good players in that position. And they're all slightly different. They're not exactly the same, which again is a positive, because you've got a Lewis Ferguson on the bench. It's a strong, strong player to come off the bench, in really good form at the moment. So, listen, you can't be disappointed with the Scotland starting team or the squad that they've got at the moment. So that's why the expectations are so high.
Right, what do you think? There's your team. Are you agreeing or disagreeing with it? Give us a call right now if you can, and we will get you on next. Clyde One. Right, after 2 days of rollovers, we did end the week with a big win for Maxine, who is £180,000 richer today. Unsurprisingly, she was pretty speechless after winning, but did manage to say all the important words before that: make me a winner. She's going to use the money to spoil her daughter. She's going to put the rest on a house deposit, and I'm pretty sure there'll be a bit left over there as well. Now, you could be the winner of £185,000 on Monday, but only if you're in the draw. So if you want involved, and I can't really think of reasons why you wouldn't, text YES to 61025. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for £2, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this network competition can be found online. And here's the important bit. If you get the call after 3pm on Monday, answer within five rings first of all, and then when you do so, say make me a winner straight away to win £185,000. Text YES to 61025.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are building up to kick off in Amsterdam, about an hour, exactly an hour to go in fact, until Scotland get underway. The team lines are in, and the big story is that Lawrence Shankland leads the line for Stevie Clark's side. No real surprises other than that. It's kind of the team you would expect. No Callum McGregor, of course, or Ryan Christie taking his place, if you like. Albeit, I know Ryan Christie's no stranger to starting a Scotland game. But yeah, pretty much Lawrence Shankland, the main headline. Scotty Boy has tweeted at Clyde SSB, Clark is testing Shankland tonight by saying, this is practically a full strength team behind you, and against Virgil van Dijk, this is what Shankland needs, and much better than being used as an afterthought by coming on in the as a second half sub against Northern Ireland. I think that's a fair point, because sometimes think, like, when you get friendlies and players get their chance, it can be alongside other players getting their chance, and then it does no one any favours.
Yeah, and again, we spoke about this before, that we didn't expect huge amount of changes, because we're in towards the end of preparations for such a big tournament. So Lawrence Shankland's got to see this as a real positive. And I spoke before about taking the opportunity while it's presented to you, and Lawrence needs to do that tonight.
He's been chosen in recognition of what he's done this season, and he's a big boy now. He's going on 29 years of age. Get out there and let's see exactly what you're like at this particular level, because it's not Northern Ireland. With the greatest respect to Northern Ireland on Tuesday, this is the real deal here.
Yeah, also scored, didn't he, for Scotland away in Georgia back in November. Let's bring in Gordon and Airdrie. What's your take on it all, Gordon?
Yeah, I was just saying earlier on, I think we should play the team closest, which way we play in Germany. And the reason for that is, I always think when Scotland get together, their first game's always a bit ropey, as if they've not been together for a wee while, then the second game's always good. So it's good to hear he's pretty much close to what he's put out tonight. I agree with Lawrence Shankland bringing again. I think he's still better than Dykes and Shea Adams for me anyway. And hopefully he proves himself tonight. But I'm glad we're close to what we should be doing against Germany. Northern Ireland's a different kettle of fish. You know, we can play around with that. But for me tonight, if the team's close to what he's going to play in Germany, that's the right thing.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Look, I know it's really in stating the obvious territory, and you'd say, well, you know, everybody has to do it, and it's just the way it is. But it has been 4 months since they played together. That is the challenge of international football, isn't it? Can you expect them to go, you know, just turn it all back on again?
Unlikely, because if a club side hadn't played for 4 months, then you know you would say they can't turn form on and off like a switch. So we understand all these things, but we're talking about top class pros here. And they all know the score. They're up against a very good Dutch side. We've had a look at their team. Their team is very impressive. Players taken from the top of the Bundesliga, from the top of the English Premier League, etc., etc. This is a real test, and these guys will be up to it, I'm sure. I'm not suggesting that we will beat the Netherlands in the Johan Cruyff Arena, but these guys will give all, and it will be close.
Yes, it's a huge test, Cammy. It's over there for a start. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a away game. It's a Dutch team that includes tonight Virgil van Dijk, Nathan Aké, Xavi Simons, Gigi Wijnaldum, Memphis Depay, Cody Gakpo, and Jeremy Frimpong, who's I think it's his second cap, but he's certainly not played a lot. So a whole host of top. I mean, you're arguably up against the best central defender. Lawrence Shankland comes in against the best central defender in the world tonight, in many people's eyes. Jeremy Frimpong is absolutely flying at the top of the Bundesliga, could get multi-million pound moves to England if we're led to believe. Cody Gakpo of Liverpool and so on.
Yeah, but again, you put it down to opportunities. Lawrence Shankland against, as you describe, one of the best centre-halves. If he has a great game tonight, scores goals, then it shows he can do it at the top level. So there's that big opportunity. But again, touching on the game tonight and the opposition, it's top-level opposition, but I feel as if that's what Scotland needs at this moment. They need a real tough test, because that's what they're going to face when it comes down to the Euros in the first game against Germany. There's going to be, yes, Germany aren't the team they were in the past, but they've still got top quality players. They're at home, it's their tournament. There'll be a lot of pressure on them, but this is a good preparation for Scotland tonight.
See, at the same time, Gordon, do you think Lauren Shankland needs another chance as well on Tuesday? Like we said, you know, if he can't get the better of Virgil van Dijk, there's probably no shame in that. Does he still deserve another chance over this break?
Well, I definitely think so. He's also a top class striker. And if he performs the way he does, even in the Scottish League, I think he'll do well against Van Dijk. I know Van Dijk is a good centre-half, but he's not the fastest in the world either.
Oh, steady, Gordon, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I think he's that comfortable that he maybe doesn't look it. He's quick. Yeah. He's extremely quick.
And as Hugh described him before, and he's been described many times, a Rolls Royce. He just looks as if he's jogging half the time, but he's deceivingly quick.
It'd be a great story, though, with... in one game, in his previous game, if Lauren Shankland can't get the better of Ryan Leake of Ross County, but then goes and does it against Virgil van Dijk in the next game.
I'm sure at the back of his mind, when he looks over his career, Lauren Shankland will have unhappiness over the period of time that he spent at Beerschot in Belgium. It just didn't happen for him. So, you know, good to go abroad and show that, well, that was Belgium, but here in Amsterdam, I can do it. So, big night for him.
Thanks very much to Gordon and Airdrie on 01419511025. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB with all your thoughts on that game tonight, the teams and so on. Lauren Shankland does get the nod. It feels like there were two. It feels like Lauren Shankland and Lewis Ferguson were the ones that people were clamouring for to get a chance. Shankland has from the start. What does Simon on the line think?
How you doing, guys? Hope you're all well.
Thank you.
Obviously looking forward to the game tonight. A wee bit of apprehension, but obviously that's when you're facing a good team. I think the Netherlands are a much better team than Germany at the moment. They're certainly more harmonious. So this is going to be a really tough test. I think tonight is the test for Shankland of whether he can be trusted to to be starting for Scotland, or whether he is simply like an impact player if we're needing a goal. If he can do it tonight, or even have a decent performance tonight, not necessarily saying get on the score sheet, but link up play, bring the others into the play. I mean, certainly been contention, but I think that's what, you know, Steve said yesterday in his press conference, that he's going to try something different today. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I think that's the Shankland thing. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing how it turns out, and, yeah, hoping that the spell's good for the going into the summer. Yeah.
Do you think that is actually, I think it's a really good point from Simon. Is that actually going to be the key if you're Stevie Clark, to see what Lauren Shankland can do to fit into this team and how he can function, getting the best out of McGinn and McTominay and all those other good players round about him? Similar to what I said earlier about, you know, the result. Lauren Shankland might play terribly, but a ball hits his backside and goes in. Is that then a success versus a game where for 90 minutes you think, by the way, he's excellent but doesn't score?
Yeah, no, I don't think a lucky goal would define success for Steve Clark, certainly. I think Simon used a good word there, trust. I think it is an opportunity for Lauren Shankland to put some trust in between him and Steve Clark, because I think there's always that little bit of doubt from Steve of, I would say, the discipline defensively of Lauren Shankland, the shape that, again, Dykes gets back into a really good defensive, works so hard for the team.
And so does Shea Adams.
Yeah,
as well.
They both do. So again, I really feel that Lauren Shankland needs to do that. I'm pretty sure that'll be the instruction from Steve Clark. So it'll be interesting, because Steve Clark will send him out with a number of instructions tonight. And I think that'll be the one of the defining moments, that if he can follow them tonight. I don't think it's all about him scoring.
Anything else that jumps out at you, Simon? Is it almost the fact that there aren't many other remarkable points from the team line, which tells its own story about Steve Clark trying to get continuity and so on?
Yeah, I've been listening to the show this week in disbelief, actually, with some of the callers and some of the attitudes that people seem to have, as if that we've not just qualified for our second successive Euros. And people are talking about, you know, changing the whole squad and bringing players through, and it's just not how football works. You know, we've got a really good bunch of players who are really united and like each other. And if you take out somebody like Kenny McLean, who, by the way, whenever he's been called upon, has never let us down and contributed one of the biggest moments in the qualifying campaign, you take him out of the squad, you know, there's a chance of, like, annoying his friends and his teammates. I think Lewis Ferguson one was the only other one. I didn't see it happening tonight, mainly for the simple reason of Billy Gilmore. We're going to need him to keep the ball. Lewis Ferguson's more of a pressing midfielder going forward than the sort of role of John McGinn or Scott McTominay. And for me, that's you know, not the role that we needed today. We needed Billy Gilmore, who's going to sit back deep and control the play and keep the possession when we're under threat. So, yeah, just I think it's a team I expected. To be honest, Christie coming in, you know, he's the one that you maybe think. But I like Christie. And I still don't think that when we go into the Euros, it will be Lyndon Dykes or Shea Adams. I don't think Lawrence Shankland will be the one who's trusted in the initial game. But I listen, I'm fully behind him, even though he used to play for Ayr. I'm fully behind him and hoping he does well for us.
Not holding it against him. That is another interesting one. I'm looking forward to seeing where Ryan Christie plays. We're used to, he's used as a striker or a second striker for Scotland. And his time up here, he was considered an attacker. But I don't know if people have. I've seen Bournemouth recently. He's been playing deep in midfield and playing very, very well. Interesting.
Yeah, again, it will be really interesting. Very good technically on the ball. Keeps the ball well, as Simon says. So does Billy Gilmore. So them two could control the game a little bit more for Scotland tonight, and that'll be interesting to see where he does fit in at this team.
Thank you to Simon. Sorry, Hugh. I didn't realise how quickly time had got away from us, and I know you two will be chomping at the bit to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. Finish the week on a high, a signed ball in the post, and the bragging rights over Hugh Keevans or Cammy Bell. What is not to like? 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just over 40 minutes till kickoff in Amsterdam, Scotland against the Netherlands. And Steve Clark's named his side. There is a start for Lawrence Shankland, so keep your calls coming on that. It now would be pretty good time, if you want to shift focus onto domestic stuff. I did say there's been a bit of rumour, speculation, call it what you will, on Celtic side about Paulo Bernardo's future, and on Rangers side about Borna Barisic. So if you want to share your opinion, I would love to hear it. Elsewhere, big weekend in the Championship and League One and beyond. There's a big Women's Cup final on Sunday as well. So lots more if you want to get away from the international stuff, but you have to give us a call. 01419511025. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. I'm reliably informed a win for you tonight would see you leapfrog Mark Wilson.
Oh.
We say the business end of the season where the table starts to take shape.
How do you jump over a mushroom?
That's it. That is what you have in store tonight. You're on 71% win rate. So we'll see. One of you is going to take on Craig in Alexandria, though. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, I'm good.
Most people who call in are playing for the first time. Are you one of them?
I'm the first time, aye.
Brilliant. Do okay, though, when you play along at home?
I've played a few times, aye.
Okay, good. Right, I like your quiet confidence, yeah. I think that's the vibe I'm getting from Craig out there, it has to be said. I'll toss the coin, Craig. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, and if it's tails, it will be Cammy Bell.
I hope it's Hugh.
He's got his wish. It's heads.
Hugh. Come on, Hugh. I want you to specify your reasons, young man, for saying you hope it's me.
I'm against you, Hugh.
Right, and they're a hardy bunch down in the Vale of Leaving.
I could tell by his tone, I don't think he was saying that you're daft. I think he just wanted to take you on. Some right. people would say you're daft for the record, but not him. No, Craig.
Legend of the game.
Respectable. He's been called worse, I have to say. Yeah. Right, what we'll do is give Hugh some greatest hits radio so that he can't hear what's going on. 30 seconds, Craig, to just answer as many as you can. If you want to just pass and move on, that is absolutely fine, okay?
Yeah, no worries.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored for Scotland the last time they beat the Netherlands?
Jack Hendry.
Which team has fielded a Dutchman more recently, Celtic or Rangers?
Rangers.
Name either English side that Hibs' Emiliano Marcondes has played for.
Pass.
Who's the manager of the Scotland under-21s?
Naismith.
What Celtic player played against North Korea yesterday?
Dyson Maeda.
Which country has the most teams still in this year's Champions League?
England.
Okay, let's bring him back. Hugh Keevans, can you hear us?
I can.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock, okay. And your time starts now. Who scored for Scotland the last time they beat the Netherlands?
James McFadden.
Which team has fielded a Dutchman more recently, Celtic or Rangers?
Rangers.
Name either English side that Hibs' Emiliano Marcondes has played for.
Bournemouth.
Who is the manager of the Scotland under-21s?
Scott Gemmell.
Which Celtic player played against North Korea yesterday?
Dyson Maeda.
Which country has the most teams still in this year's Champions League?
Germany.
Okay. Craig, what are you thinking?
I think I've messed that one up.
I thought you sounded okay, but I tell you what, the old fella, he was out last night as well. I thought maybe foot off the gas, bit of red wine, haze. No? Were you on your best behaviour?
No, I couldn't tell you a lie. I'd need to do a Gordon Dale and just make a full disclosure. But that even when you're in the company of A-list celebrities, you know, one must raise one's game.
I saw you. I got pictures. You were interviewing Irvin Welsh at the top table at the St Andrews Sporting Club. How was it?
He was absolutely sensational. And he brought his pal, Simon Weir, who was in Trainspotting 2 and is a big fan of Super Scoreboard, may I say. But Irvin Welsh was terrific.
There you go. Okay, well, we'll find out the scores as we go through this. The last time Scotland beat the Netherlands, Craig, this was like, I got your thinking, because Jack Hendry did score the last time they played, but that was a draw that night. So it was James McFadden way back in 2003. Hugh Keevans goes 1-0 up. You both went for Rangers with the most recent Dutchman,
Sam Lammers.
Yes, you both got it. Well done. 2-1 to Hugh. Emiliano Marcondes has played for Brentford or Bournemouth. Hugh Keevans goes 3-1 in front. And Scott Gemmell is the manager of the 21s. I tell you what, Craig, for a guy who was on the red wine last night, he's absolutely flying at this point. No, but you did know that Dyson Maeda played against North Korea yesterday. See, they were meant to play again, but it's off.
Or the,
some sort of like diplomatic incident.
or scheduled for Dens Park.
You know, you think we've got issues here, but you know, like they've had to sort of some sort of political or diplomatic issue in the games. Off, so he come. I think he's probably coming back a bit earlier with his new blonde hair.
Blonde hair?
You not seen it?
No.
He's had the wee cami bell.
Is he? Lovely.
Dyed hairdo, yeah. Dyes in Maida. Not many people make the journey from North Korea to Livingston in the space of a couple of days.
No.
You have to say. And the country with the most teams left in this season's Champions League, you actually both got that wrong. It is Spain. Barca, Real, and Atletico. England have two, Man City and Arsenal. France have one, and Germany have one. So I'm afraid, Craig, you did all right. You got a couple on the board, but Hugh Keevans was too hot to handle tonight.
Well played, Hugh.
All right, Craig, give my regards to the Vale.
Are you into international football, Craig, or are you one of them that's counting the days until the league stuff starts back?
I'm counting the days for the league.
And what sort of shape are you expecting Celtic to be in?
I'm not sure. We'll just take it as it comes.
Craig's very diplomatic. I don't mind that. Thank you again to Craig on the line. Lost to Hugh Keevans. No shame in that. The man was in good form tonight. And that's you. You've leapfrogged Mark Wilson.
Well,
as we advertise.
There's something going seriously wrong. I've gone from a dud to a reasonable performer. I don't understand it.
You are genuinely are getting better with age. You are getting better with age, because last season you were rotten. I beat the pundit, quite frankly.
Yeah.
But there we are. Speaking of getting better with age, how do you like this? Oh. This is as seamless a transition as you'll hear from me, and purely by accident. An experienced campaigner, you would have to say, is joining us on the line. But the older he's getting, the more goals he's scoring. He's the top scorer in the Championship. He's going to be the busiest man in Scottish football this weekend, because he also is the head coach of Partick Thistle's women's team, who play in their first ever final against Rangers on Sunday.
And he's got the initials of a well-known band, BG.
Okay, I was wondering where you were going. Brian Graham's on the line. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, Gordon. How are you doing, panel? All right?
Good.
I don't know. I've given you the big build-up about it being a busy weekend, but I'm conscious
I'm just laughing at Hughes with the Bee Gees.
I've put you in the same bracket as Hugh Keevans, as getting better with age, which I do apologise for. You're not quite that old, it has to be said. How are you looking forward to this weekend, Brian? It's going to be quite something for you, isn't it?
To be honest, it's been a really busy week. There's been a lot going on, but it's been really exciting. Obviously, preparations for tomorrow, way to our growth, but obviously, the excitement of the cup final on Sunday. So there's been a lot happening, but first and foremost, I need to go and make sure we get 3 points at our growth tomorrow, and then 10:45 tomorrow, then my mind will shift to the cup final on Sunday.
Is that the way it has to be? Because you're used to this dual role. It's not like it's anything new, but such an important time of the season for the men's team. Could barely be more important, the chance to make history for your women's team. Have you just had to almost do that, where tonight and tomorrow it's about the men's team, and then, you know, almost put it in two different compartments?
Of course you've got to, because first and foremost, my full-time job is playing for the men's side. And then a couple of years ago, when I took the women's job on, I wasn't really sure how it was going to go, but they've came on leaps and bounds, and back-to-back top six finishes, now found ourselves in a cup final where we've got a real chance of going to win it, in my eyes.
Yeah, let's go men's team first then, because the reason you got the Hugh Keevans comparison, the goal scoring isn't slowing down anytime soon. Top scorer in the Championship. How are you feeling about the task tomorrow, and I suppose the running, because we're at that really important part of the season, aren't we?
Yeah, listen, scoring goals, I've always scored goals when I played regular, and I've been playing regular for Partick Thistle now for a couple of years, and I've been top goal scorer every year that I've been at the club. So I got 21 last year, I'm on 21 at the moment. A couple of dodgy refereeing decisions, I probably should be on more, but yeah-ho. Tomorrow, our way to our growth. Listen, I know the bottom of the league, but you seen Raith Rovers going there a couple of weeks ago, and they got beat after being 2-0 up, and they thought they were cruising. But it'll be a difficult afternoon. We've looked at the weather forecast, the wind machine will be on.
Oh, that's right.
So we just need to go up there, make sure we've got a job done, because, listen, we hadn't picked up a win yet for a couple of weeks. It was a hard game against Morton last week where we got a well-deserved 3 points, and we need to go and get another big, massive 3 points to make sure we stay in those playoff places.
How does the mindset shift then, in terms of, because I think most people will kind of see the obvious differences. Tomorrow you can impact things, you can run a wee bit harder, you can jump a bit higher, you can, you know, you can try and score for the men's team, and then very quickly it's more about your preparation for the women's team, and then of course you relinquish control to an extent and stand on the touchline. What's that like to do it, you know, like one day after the other?
It's very difficult, but
see if you've had a bad game on a Saturday, it's a good mind, it's a good distraction to have. But obviously, if you've had a good day, you can have a bit of banter with the girls, say, right, I scored yesterday, you need to score today, sort of thing.
Brian, do you buy into that philosophy that I think pressure is a privilege, because you're essential to the men's team and you're essential to the women's team, and to be able to show why over a 48-hour period of time, I think that's a great thing.
No, listen, it's hard at times, don't get me wrong, but I really relish both roles. I really enjoy both roles, and I've got a real good changing room with the girls where it's not just good football players, they're good girls and good people, and that's first and foremost. And then the football comes after that. If you can sort your changing room out nice and early, get the right characters in there, it gives you half a chance.
How important has the man management been then, or you know, the getting that belief and putting the right messages across as part of your preparation? Because you know, I've seen you do some media this week and trying to, you know, get that message out there that your team are there on merit and deserve to be there. Because everybody else is going to obviously point out the fact that Rangers are full time and they've got an astronomical budget compared to yours and so on, and there's the underdog nature of it. So how do you strike that balance?
Yeah, listen, we know we're the underdogs, make no illusions of it, but at the same time, it's the word that I used when I first took over the club was belief within the group that we can strive to do greatness, and the girls have bought into that. And you've seen that, because the back-to-back top six finishes, it's not easy being a part-time team. There's a lot of other clubs round about us. We did it the first year with 1 point. This year, we've absolutely stormed it. We set out targets at the beginning of the year, and we've been ticking them along as the season's been going on. Now we're in the business end of the season where we're in the top six, where we want to improve on last year's top six performances. And to get the cup final, they deserve huge credit, because everybody in the country expects Rangers to win. Let's not make no mistake about that. But within our group, we believe we can go and win the cup.
You get a cup final suit looked out?
I do. Me and Big Ross went out. The club sent us to go and get a couple of suits to do it properly. So the girls gave us plenty of stick for it. So, but plus, and see all these wee touches, that's what cup finals are all about.
Well, exactly. I was going to say, cup final suit. You've even had a cup final song. A local songwriter, Thistle fan, Nathan Beard, did a song for you as well. Is that, are these all the things that make it feel a bit more special, a bit more real?
No, it's great, and it's the girls, they're all buying into it as well. They're all buzzing with the song. And obviously Sunday, we're doing everything correct. We're leaving from Fir Hill, we'll go to the hotel, we'll have pre-match, we'll do everything as if it was a full-time environment. So we're trying to make sure we're getting everything right off the pitch. And then once we get on the Tynecastle, Hugh was speaking about responsibility. And once you cross the white line, we can give instructions, but the players need to take responsibility within themselves and believe that they can go and do the job. And as I said, go and be the hero for Partick Thistle.
Brilliant. Brian, we'll let you go because I know you're a busy, busy man. That's an understatement. But all the best at the weekend in both roles.
I really appreciate it. Good luck, Brian.
Brilliant. All the best.
Thank you very much. Thank you. All the best. Bye-bye.
Cheers. That's Brian Graham leading the line for Thistle Men's, then the head coach of the women on Sunday, without giving too much away because it hasn't obviously broadcast yet. As part of TV Cut, I have spent an extreme amount of time with Brian Graham this week. Oh. And then when I texted him today to come on this show, I thought he is going to be sick of me. So fair play to him for coming on and giving us his thoughts. I mean, like a serious amount of time.
Yeah. Too close?
Arguably at times, yeah. I would have to say that, over multiple days as well. So great story that, though, isn't it?
And when will this broadcast so that we may gaze upon it?
No, well, obviously the coverage is on Sunday. The game is live on Sky Sports on Sunday.
Nah, brilliant, brilliant story. Brilliant from Brian Graham. He's so important to that club, for the men's team but also the women's team. What he's doing with them is fantastic, and we wish them all the best on Sunday.
Absolutely. And of course Rangers will go on as massive favourites, as Brian says, and a chance for Jo Potter to get her first piece of silverware as head coach, leading the SWPL at the moment. Unbeaten, in fact, until last weekend when they lost to Celtic. So we'll see what type of reaction there is there. Right, if you want to give us a call on anything at all, 0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. Now would be a good time to do it. We can go back to Scotland if you so wish, that's absolutely fine. Or if you want to talk Paolo Bernardo or Borna Barisic or the championship action or anything else this weekend, give us a call right now and we'll try and get you on next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're building up to kick off in Amsterdam. We're taking your calls, so please get them in. Send us your tweets. Get in touch however you fancy. There's like that bonus way you can get in touch with the show, which is to submit a full time teaser. So you send a question in and the pundits try and come up with the answers. This one is one of the most bizarre and ridiculous we've ever had. Let's hear it.
The full time teaser with Universal Interiors East Kilbride, offering champion bespoke media units to put you right in the game.
Right, this is going to cause... I'm not really sure how to explain this. I think there's bound to be a couple of stewards' inquiries in here, and usually I hate that, regular right. listeners of the show, but I'm almost embracing it here, because by design, this question's meant to be a bit of fun.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
So it's been sent in by the Crazy Pony, who's got a brilliant imagination, I have to say, and he wants you to name... this is quite topical, maybe. We spoke about Daisy and Maida dyeing his hair, okay, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Can you name, over the past 25 years... the top 10 ginger goal scorers? I've got no idea what possessed the Crazy Pony to come up with this question, and I'm bound to hear shouts of, he's not really ginger, he's uh-huh. African yep. sunset, or he's strawberry blonde, okay. or whatever, right? It's just a bit of fun. Can you name the top 10 ginger goal scorers right. in the Scottish Premiership over the last 25 years?
When he had hair, John Hartson.
Yeah, good shout, well done. He's second on the list.
Simon Murray?
No. Nope.
Another one, Chris Burke?
Yeah, Chris Burke is on there. Well okay. done. I mean, a few of them now don't have, you know, don't have as much hair okay. as they used to, but nevertheless. There's one guy, right, just to give a clue early, because it is a very tough question, just to show how deep this runs. There's one guy on here who the Crazy Pony says has always been bald, but you can just tell he's got ginger.
Oh, come on.
I don't know what chance you've got on that one. The pony's actually going a step further to speculate as to which parts of his body hair might be ginger. I'll not read that bit out.
Top 10 ginger goal scorers in Scotland
mm-hmm. In the last 25 years. No idea where this comes from.
David Hopkins?
No. Played a lot of football in England,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, he did. That's what I was thinking.
So you've got John Hartson and Chris Burke. You've not got number one on the list, a guy who's got 85 goals in the last 25 years in Scotland. Not for any of the Old Firm, though.
Okay.
But a good goal scorer for one other club in particular, but there's a couple in there. All right, I'll leave it with you. I will leave it with you. Kenny is on the line. How are you, Kenny?
Thank you very much. How are you, gentlemen?
Good. What's on your mind tonight?
I want to discuss about the Lewis Ferguson not to play him on tonight's game. What does a guy like him have to do to get into the Scotland setup in terms of getting a start there? I was wanting to know your take on that.
Lewis Ferguson. Kenny, I wonder if the really annoying answer is be better than John McGinn, Scott McTominay. Is that the harsh reality of it?
At the end of the day, this guy, he's 24 years old. Mm-hmm. He's the captain of Bologna, Serie A, and 7 goals already this season. He's played 55 times for Bologna since leaving Aberdeen. Is that not enough to get a starting position in the Scotland squad?
I think you're entitled to your surprise. You know, he's made such strides, but I also take Gordon Duncan's point on board that there are guys in that particular area of the field who have been outstanding. And there's another one, McGregor, still to come back. But I do agree with you that I would have thought that Lewis Ferguson would have had more minutes for Scotland by this stage, given the rate at which he has progressed in Italy.
Cammy?
Yeah, no, listen, the problem he has is the position he plays. Our players are so strong in that position. And again, you've got to look at John McGinn, Aston Villa captain, high flying in the Premier League, McTominay, Man United. It's so difficult. I fully expect Lewis Ferguson to get some game time, potentially tonight and against Northern Ireland. And he's knocking on the door, but I've said it before, it just shows you how strong our squad is, and I really do take that as a mm-hmm. positive, because there could be injuries around the corner, we don't know.
Which one would you leave out for him, Kenny? Or do you think just because it's a friendly, he should just definitely go in ahead of any of them and sort of see what he can do?
before I answer that, just absolute, what a great position to be in when we're saying we've got a captain, Aston Villa, Premier League, and McTominay pulling all every time he comes on as a sub for Man United, getting these goals in big games. So it's a great position we're in, but it's a friendly against a top team. Why not give him the chance, the opportunity to test himself for the best players in the world?
Mm-hmm. Surely he starts on Tuesday.
Oh yeah, yeah. You really would have to ask Stevie Clark out, right? What's wrong with this guy that he can't get any game time for you?
See, at the same time though, even I accept where he is, and I agree, I want to see him as well. But you've still got guys like Stuart Armstrong on there as well. You know, on the bench who are very much main parts of the team.
There's a kind of glamorous aspect to the Ferguson story, which obviously invigorates people like Kenny. Here we have someone who not only is the captain of Bologna and doing very well in Serie A, but there's also talk of going to one of the Milan clubs, mm-hmm. moving for 20 to 25 million pounds. So there's a glamorous side to his story that's not there with Stuart Armstrong. This is Stuart Armstrong.
No, it wasn't to say that he would play instead of. It was just as an example.
Yeah, but I think that's why people talk about Ferguson more than they do about Stuart Armstrong, who's a fine player. But there's this glamorous story of from Hamilton Accies to Aberdeen to Serie A, and not only just to Serie A, to be an outstanding player in Serie A.
Kenny, did you think he could hit these heights? I know you Aberdeen fans were very fond of him, but it's been excellent the way he's kicked on, even still, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Listen, he's got a family there that supports him, I believe, and he takes great advice. He keeps his head down. He was fantastic for Aberdeen. Gutted when he left, but he's going to bring in a lot of money for Aberdeen, and he's going to do well throughout his career. It's not often I agree with you, so I totally agree with you on that one, Hugh. It's that great rise that nobody expected, a lad, you know, coming from Hamilton to Aberdeen to then pull the strings in Serie A with the top teams after him. Let's not forget, he was also linked with Juventus too, but we'll wait and see. But moving to the last point there, I would I'd be happy enough to drop either McGinn or McTominay, but I would go for McTominay due to the fact that he's not getting real game time week in, week out with Man United.
I'll tell you why I wouldn't touch him, Kenny, because what McTominay brings, goals.
Yeah. And this reminds me of Simon's point, the one of the previous callers. It's perfectly normal for Kenny and others to say, I'd like to see a bit of Lawrence Shankland, and I'd like to see a bit of Lewis Ferguson. But once we start straying into, just drop Scott McTominay because he doesn't play much for Man United, it's like, well, have you forgotten about the qualification campaign?
Yeah.
Why are we here? Why are we talking about pre-Euro friendlies? It's nice to have options, but we're only here because of the excellent work done by these players.
Absolutely. And again, different players. I do believe Lewis Ferguson and McTominay are different. McTominay's very physical, offers that threat from set pieces. Yes, it's harsh on Lewis Ferguson because he's high-flying at Bologna. He's captain. He's doing brilliantly over there. But yeah, you can't forget what these guys have done in the past and are still currently doing it for their clubs as well. It's not as if McTominay's not featuring at all for Man United. He's such an important part for them.
Last game they played, goal and an assist against Liverpool in the FA Cup.
Yeah, Erik ten Hag would have been down the road before this had it not been for McTominay at Old Trafford. I mean, he's on his way anyway, but for McTominay, he'd be away now.
When McTominay plays, between him and McGinn, they're two of the best midfielders in the English Premier League. So that's a standard that Lewis Ferguson's against. It's not a question of his ability.
There's no right or wrong way. I guess it's about personal preference for the manager, because you can see both arguments. One would say, well, we know what they can do, though. Yeah. We know what they can do, so let's have a look at guys that we don't quite know yet what we can do. But the other side would be, how nice would it be to go into a tournament where McGinn's flying for Scotland again and McTominay's flying for Scotland again? Where's the balance between getting those guys in a really good place versus having a look at players that haven't had the chance?
But we need to remember, we're so close to the tournament as well, and that's one of the big things for me. If this was back at the start of the season, possibly it would be a different story. But we're only three games after tonight. We've got to prepare. So again, you want to have momentum, you want to have confidence. The players don't get a lot of time together as it is, so you've got to use that time wisely, and I think Steve Clark's conscious of that.
Thanks, Kenny, though. It was nice to speak to you. Enjoy the game. Good man. That was Kenny in the Western Isles, Aberdeen fan, flying the flag for Lewis Ferguson, like many will be, I think, and it would be nice to see certainly a sizeable bit of him tonight. Just looking at the Dutch going about their preparations, got a few superstars in there as well, don't they?
Yeah. As I say, it's a fantastic test of everyone, not just Lauren Shankland. It's a test of everyone on the park tonight because of the quality of the opposition. But what's the point to football life if you don't put yourself up for challenge?
Yeah, it's a huge challenge, but one that the Scotland players will be relishing tonight. Massive night ahead of them, but a great opportunity as well.
Do you get in a few squads on top of the cap that you got?
Loads of squads. Yeah. I was in a lot of squads for
really?
A long time.
How many are we talking?
I don't know. I would say probably 15, maybe.
Really? Yeah, as many
quite
as
a lot.
I knew it was a few.
Yeah, because Craig Gordon was obviously, Craig and Alan were the goalies that were kind of playing. Marsh kind of dropped out at that point. Purely, I think it was probably Marsh's decision that he kind of stepped away at that point because he was third choice goalie. I was delighted to go in all these squads. So yeah, I was in a lot, got to a lot of
So you
kind of
know
places.
How it feels because you've got those two in front and you think, well, I can't really grumble with not out in Craig Gordon or
no, absolutely.
Alan McGregor.
And again, I can remember being on the third choice goalie when we played Spain at Hampden. Nasey scored. So some superstars that were there that night, and
you just wanted out the house, basically.
Yeah, basically, aye. A good nice wee week's holiday, yeah. Some lovely food, and
where were they based around those times?
So we were in Mar Hall.
So I see right through that. A wee couple of days in Mar Hall, and get the feet up, away for the kids. Sorry for listening.
Yeah, no, lovely time.
Anyway, we're getting there. We're getting closer to kick off. Right, what about this teaser? We've never had one like this before, but that's a testament to the creativity out there, because usually you think you've seen and heard it all on the full-time teaser, but tonight is, can you name the top 10 ginger goal scorers over the last 25 years in Scotland? You've given me John Hartson, you've given me Chris Burke.
I've got one. Gordon Strachan?
Nah, not in the last 25 years, I'm afraid.
No, that's 1999.
You're right, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the problem for
I'm
you.
I'm trying to think of this guy who does not have hair, but if he did, it would be red.
I think that's the last place to start.
Right, okay.
Because that's the most difficult one for that reason. But what about the guy, top of this tree? 85 goals. Red hair, ginger hair, call it what you like.
It was a time.
Yeah, so we're looking mid 2000s to mid 2010s, that sort of era.
Okay.
He certainly played his football north of the country.
So he's.
Oh, I've thought of one.
Go on then. Go on to you.
Duncan Aberdeen, Duncan Shearer.
No. Wrong time frame.
Aberdeen player.
Oh, come on. Who's Aberdeen's like main
goal?
Oh,
Rooney.
Adam Rooney.
So
well
he is.
Done.
Aye.
Well done, we got there in the end. Any more that spring to mind, need I ask?
This is a tough one.
Right, okay. Right, let's go back to the phones. Bill wants to shift focus away from Scotland, which is absolutely fine. There's been stories doing the rounds about Paolo Bernardo and whether Celtic should make it permanent and what that price would look like and so on. What's your take on it, Bill?
Not at that price. He's not a six or a £6.5 million player. We paid that kind of money before for Jota. He couldn't lace Jota's boots, to be quite honest. I think at best he's probably worth, at the moment, £1.5 to £2 million. Celtic want to take him on loan again for the remainder of next year, for next season, and then maybe look at a price for him. But to be honest, spending £6.5 million, I'd buy Lennon Miller from Motherwell. I'd buy Watson from Kilmarnock, and I'd buy Max Johnson, who's now playing in Austria. Celtic should have got him before he went there.
We'll start the bidding at 10 for Lennon Miller, if you don't mind. So, but what about But I've seen a real split on this on social media.
Yeah.
Genuinely, like, it feels down the middle. I've seen so many say, this season, no, not seen anywhere near enough for that price tag. Seen loads of others saying, no, I have seen glimpses. He's been captaining Portugal's under-21s team.
Yeah.
You know, one for the future and so on.
I can understand why opinion is split, because when it comes to matters of this nature, it's always a subjective judgment. Yeah, he's worth the £6 million, or no, definitely not. I do not think he's worth £6 million. I would pay half of that. But for me, he's someone who's come in, he had a mini purple patch.
Must be worth more than three, though, no?
Well, you know, look at Nicholas Kuhn, and the Celtic fans are starting to take a liking to him. He was £3 million. Bernardo had the mini purple patch. He scored against Rangers, which always enhances your reputation. But in general terms, I agree with Bill. I certainly think that Celtic should be thinking about Lennon Miller and about David Watson at Kilmarnock. But with regard to Paulo Bernardo and Paulo Bernardo alone, I don't think that this season, which has been a trying one for Celtic in places, I don't think I've seen anything that would remotely entice me to pay that money for him.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just haven't seen enough of him. I think it's a big price tag as well for Celtic to pay, is it, within the model that they use. I just don't think he's shown enough. It would be a big risk, I think. It's a lot of money. And yeah, he's not done enough yet.
Bill, the other thing would be, though, can you see a trajectory in there, though, where he becomes worth that? Is he on the right path? You're not even seeing those signs?
Sorry?
I'm saying, can you see, you know, there's another side to say, is he worth £6 million right now? That's one question. Or do you think he could become worth it? Is it a good investment?
It's not a good investment. It's £6 million. No way.
See, I look at games, you know, the games that have cost Celtic dearly. The Hearts game lost at Celtic Park, the loss at Kilmarnock, etc., etc. And you think, Bernardo, if you're the real deal, you should be the difference or part of the difference on days like that between dropping points and getting maximum points. And I don't see him as a player who influences very many matches.
I mean, he hooked at half time in the Tynecastle game because of the sending off. He didn't start, actually, the 1-1 against Kilmarnock at home, so I don't know how much they're his fault as such.
No, they're not his fault, but in general terms, you don't look at him and think game changer. You know, that he's just isn't.
Agree, because I think when you looked at Jota, was a game changer, was a top player, and I'm with you that I just don't think he's worth that price tag yet. Listen, he might go on to be worth that, but it's a big risk.
Thanks very much to Bill for sharing his take on it. 0141951 1025. How are we faring with the ginger goal scorers?
I've got
Adam
one
Rennie, John Hartson, and Chris Burke.
Don't know if he would have scored enough when he was up here. Ewan Doyle?
Nope.
No.
Have a shout though.
Hibs, wouldn't he?
There's a couple in here that are dubious. We're going to need to get the colour chart out.
Nah, I think the crazy pony's gone too far this time.
I think so.
He's bolted from the stable in this one.
Do you know what? The number of them that have
there's
got
a guy
here
that's
anymore
bald
either.
That I'm thinking, is he ginger? Connor Sanders?
Yes, that's the one.
Yes!
That's the one that the pony thinks has to be.
There.
There's another one that comes into that bracket, I would say, but we've definitely seen this guy's hair. Anyway, what has this show become? Kickoff in Amsterdam is coming next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just about to kick off a cuddle between the two captains, of course, club mates Andy Robertson and Virgil van Dijk. Gunn in goal for Scotland. Porteous, Hendry and Tierney, the back three. Patterson, Gilmore, McTominay, Robertson and McGinn, Christie and then Shankland up top on his own. So we'll see how Scotland fare tonight. A real tough test this. You look at some of the players that the Netherlands have at their disposal. So hopefully a good result and good performance heading towards those Euros. We'll keep you up to speed on anything of note inside the opening stages. You two have got a big challenge of your own. It's a crazy question, this, and we've not, I don't even know if we've reached Stewards Inquiry stage yet on some of them. Can you name the top 10 ginger goal scorers in the Scottish top flight over the past 25 years? I've no idea what inspired the question, but it was sent in to us. So you've got Adam Rooney, John Hartson, Chris Burke and Connor Salmon, who I can only ever remember being bald, but he's been included on this list.
I played with Connor, so I would put him down as a wee bit of ginger, yeah.
This guy was...
you got inside knowledge there. You're basing that on...
Just maybe when he was younger, I had a little bit of hair. No, okay.
Not
leg hair?
Leg,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
This guy was definitely a ginger. Barry Robson.
Yep, well done.
I've got one go by his beard. Liam Boyce.
Yes, Liam Boyce, well done.
And another Liam Craig.
Yeah, Liam Craig. Okay. Three. So how many is that? Three to get?
Three to go. Tough gig.
Honestly. Hope not upsetting anyone who's going to phone in and say, I think you will find I am strawberry blonde. But anyway, the three to get. One's definitely debatable, I would say.
Okay. It's not going to help us, you, I don't think.
In fact, a couple of them are debatable. Oh. It's just a bit of fun. It is a bit of fun. Anyway, still waiting on kickoff in the Netherlands. So a couple of minutes, a good few minutes behind, actually. But we'll wait and see how Scotland start this one, hopefully.
See, we always think, you know, and rightly so, from our perspective, what does it mean tonight? But, you know, the Dutch want a result.
Exactly.
They want to take us apart if necessary.
And they're at home, they'll be thinking, you know, it was their attacking trio against our back three as well. I mean, they've done brilliant, really, you know, Kieran Tierney's played at an excellent level, but Tierney, Hendry, Porteous, I think it was Depay, Gakpo and Simons.
Yeah, and again,
was the Netherlands front three up against them, and it's like, you know, you just... We've built this up and we've got so much optimism and we deserve it because we've done the hard work, but you do forget almost how many good players are out there.
Yeah, and they've been going through a time of, they've been getting criticised recently that they're nowhere near the Dutch team they were in the past. There's a lot of demands getting put on them, so, and they're slowly, I think the manager spoke about slowly getting progressing as a team and as a group. They've had a couple of positive results recently as well. I think the last three they've won. So, yeah, they're a top side and they're an improving top side as well.
Is this the new kit?
Yeah,
it's rubbish.
I actually don't mind it. You know, now the more I see it, I don't mind it. I don't think it's going to go down as a classic.
No,
but what are those shorts all about?
I think there's too much negativity. But anyway, that's just one man's personal opinion.
But you're not liking the yellow on it?
No, I don't like that.
The yellow flash.
No, not having that.
Actually, the Netherlands broke forward early on. Some things you don't say too often. Billy Gilmore giving the ball away. He's got astronomical pass completion stats, usually a real mainstay in that Brighton team. Cammy, I was thinking when he was a youngster at Rangers, would that have coincided with your time there? Were you always aware of like the buzz?
Yeah. Yeah, I can remember watching him along lunchtime. There's a balcony above some of the pitches at the back for the youth side, and I can remember watching a game, and it was either an under-14 game or something like that, and he was playing above his cell as well, and he just absolutely strolled the game. Incredible talent, you could see straight away. I think I was actually standing next to Mark Warburton at the time, and there was rumours of him moving to Chelsea at the time, so you could just tell he was on a different level.
Good touch, Lauren Shankland, to bring Andy Robertson into play. We did say a lot of that, you know, we define him by his goals, but a lot of this could be about his link-up play, which is so much better than people give him credit
I
think.
I think as well, it looks like Ryan Christie is playing high up.
McTominay's the deeper one, isn't it?
Yeah, and Gilmore, I see Ryan Christie being closer to Shankland earlier on in this game.
What do you make of that then, right? Because traditionally, that's kind of where you would put them, but surely the qualification campaign taught us we need to put Scott McTominay as close to the opposition goal as possible at all times.
Yeah, I think he does get forward at right moments, if he's deeper. But it's always difficult against top opposition. It might be that he plays in a slightly different role depending who we're playing. This might just be purely because we're against a top side. We're going to face a top side in Germany in the first game. I'm not saying Switzerland aren't a top side, but he might be more advanced in that game.
Look, it's 2 minutes in, and we may well, easy for me to say, may well go on and have a really tough night. But it's just interesting, even in that period, Cammy, that we're now at a stage, because we've got so many good players, we look to just keep the ball. You know, so many Scotland teams in the past would go to the Netherlands and sort of, you know, damage limitation or you know, set up really negatively. But even early on, just trying to keep it.
Yeah, listen, it would have been a really defensive and be tight, keep it tight. But yeah, we've got players that can keep the ball. We spoke about them already. These guys in the midfield for us and throughout the team, they're top players. They're playing at the top level of the English Premier League. You've got to play your strengths. Billy Gilmour wants the ball. That's what he wants to do. What he's just done there was incredible. So, yeah.
His close control is ridiculous, isn't it? And John McGinn sets Nathan Patterson down. He's maybe having a bit of a frustrating time. Doesn't help when your manager's slapping you in Portuguese restaurants, I suppose. Yeah. Although, by all accounts, Hugh, he was very embarrassed about the full thing and didn't want much hype about it.
Well, I mean, and quite rightly so. Got on with your career. I mean, it's the manager that looks bad, not you.
Must have been something in it for those experienced players on the team to take a bit of offence at it.
Well, of course.
Or is that unfair?
No, I think that's a completely accurate statement to make. Sean Dyche looks daft for having done this. And, you know, he draws attention to himself when he's got the priority of keeping Everton in the major league in English football at a time when they've got the new stadium almost completed. So the whole episode reflected badly on the manager, not on Nathan Patterson.
Free kick Scotland, chance for John McGinn to whip this one in. Lauren Shanklin's pretty good in the air, so I don't think we've lost loads, although Lyndon Dykes is particularly good, you'd have to say. But then Lauren Shanklin scored a header against Georgia, didn't he? So the big boys are up. Unfortunately, it's not a John McGinn special. Nowhere near it. Straight at the goalkeeper.
Too deep.
And
oh my goodness,
what a counter attack this could be for the Netherlands. Jeremy Frimpong racing forward, and luckily Jack Hendry gets back to cut things out. But that was disappointing, wasn't it? Not to take more from that.
Disappointing, yeah. Really disappointing ball into the box, straight to the goalkeeper, and they broke really quickly. But what I did notice was the Dutch had three players going forward, and then you all of a sudden seen six players back for Scotland. They were absolutely busting. I got to get back and got in a really good shape and managed to stop the attack. So yeah, you can see that the Dutch are going to be a real threat going forward.
Need to hope there's an offside flag here. Angus Gunn's down, but someone's round him. I think is it Gakpo, and then the flag goes up. You can just see the frustration in the players. The only thing, I actually got sympathy for the assistants there. That's what they have to do. They're told to do that. Yeah. But it's so annoying because play goes on for ages and then the flag goes up. Right. Can you name, before we go, the top 10 ginger scorers in the Scottish top flight over the past 25 years? Crazy question from the crazy pony, but it's a bit of fun. You've got Hartson, Chris Burke, Adam Rooney, Connor Salmon, apparently, Barry Robson, Liam Boyce, Liam Craig. The debatable one for me, I can't believe that. I'm having like analysed shades here. I think he would probably fall into
Stephen Pearson.
No.
Oh, good shout.
He'd probably fall into that category, but I think he's got the lightest hair out of the list. A very, very famous Rangers player of the 90s. It's definitely, there's definitely a blonde argument in here, I'm afraid.
Is there?
German, that should do it for you.
Oh, George Alberts.
George Alberts, are you having that?
George, when he first came,
for sure. Oh, chance here, Scotland, but I need to try and round off the teaser. And Andy Robertson trying to get forward. The Stings maybe come out of the attack a bit just in time. I say that as if like it's better that Scotland don't score so that we can focus on the teaser. Right, what you got? Two more, is it?
Yeah, two to go. Come on, clues.
Right, I think Hamilton Aki's midfielder. Formerly went down south.
Dockery.
Came back up. Johnston. Latterly.
Initials.
Nutmegged Joey Barton. Don't ever know what happened to Joey Barton since. He just keeps his head down and stays quiet these days. Ali Crawford.
Last
one. Problem with this guy, he's changed his hair, dyed it so many times I can't keep up. Former Celtic winger. He's now back at the club he was at before he went to Celtic. Aberdeen.
Oh, Johnny Hayes.
Johnny Hayes.
I guess it probably is. But anyway, there we go. 7.5 gone. Positive start by Scotland. Still goalless. We'll look back on it all tomorrow. And a huge day in the lower leagues as well. Make sure you join us from 2 o'clock. Have a good night. George is up next.